celebrating 710 Day live from Druids Glen Golf Course. This is Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
5 o'clock refresh brought to you by Frost Brew Coors Light. That chance to win those two Mariner tickets to the July 20th game, the Pearl Jam fireworks game. Well, that'll be coming up this half hour, so stay tuned for that. We've also got some sound from the Mariners clubhouse, where Gene Segura talked about his disappointment and his encouragement over the All-Star news. And we have some editorializing from D. Gordon. That'll be just ahead. But the big news today for the Mariners is that Felix Hernandez was placed on the 10-day disabled list with a back injury. And it's not a new injury, and it sounds to be more like something where they thought they could buy a little time and take advantage of the All-Star break, and he gets 10 days off and misses only one start in that time. But he will not be making Thursday's start. Nick Rumbelow was brought up from the minor leagues, but he's not going to be starting in Felix's place Thursday in Anaheim. It'd probably be Roenis Elias or Christian Bergman. I guess Casey Lawrence is another candidate. And it's strange to say this, but Felix's absence, it doesn't concern me either for the short term or for the long term. I think that it's probably buying him some rest, and I don't think the fact he's not starting makes it any less likely that the Mariners will win Thursday in Anaheim. I think that the replacement pitcher is going to have just as good a shot as Felix would.
Really? I disagree from that standpoint of, I feel like Felix always, yes, he's a different pitcher now, and of all the guys, you look at his ERA, yeah, he's probably the one guy, if you had to say, all right, you have to take one out of your rotation, who would it be? It would be Felix, but I just feel like he always has the potential. The potential is always there to recapture some glory. So, I still think that people view him and hitters view him as a really good pitcher, so, but... Yeah, stats-wise, I guess that's just my own personal feelings for him. I really like Felix. I really have a place in my heart for him just because he was the king, and he remember how defiant he was about it down in spring training, like, I'm still the king, and you're kind of sitting there going, no, you're not really. But, you know, he believes that. But I'll tell you what, if it's Roenis Elias, who do you think it's going to be? Because I think that's the best bet. The way they've been working him in recently, I feel like he would be the best bet. But there's also, like you said, Bergman and Lawrence. Who do you guys think is going to be the guy to replace him in the rotation?
See, Roger, you think Elias is the number one candidate?
I think in-house, yeah. There was also talk that they would move Paxton up a day and then have that Friday start in Colorado be the start that Felix would have missed.
Well, that's an interesting approach. You'd save Paxton from having to pitch in the bandbox.
Yeah.
Like, there's
yeah.
nothing wrong with that. And Paxton also wouldn't hit, so you could save him, keep him out of harm's way in that
and
regard.
You yeah. leave Paxton fresh for a possible All-Star game appearance, too.
That's possibly true as well. It would yeah. be there.
I wouldn't mind seeing Marco pitch in Colorado because you'd get the bonus of him hitting, although it's not going to work out for him. But, no, I'm with I love Felix, too, but I'm with Danny on this one. I don't really feel like this is going to hurt the Mariners, even if they came out and said Felix is out for the season. Yeah, it's as bad as it is to say, because any one of these guys they throw in there is going to be just as good as what we've seen, generally speaking, from Felix this year, and might even be better.
I do think it'd be bad news if Felix was lost for the season. I do think that would be a negative for two reasons. One, they don't have starting pitching depth. And they've gotten to the spot, and if you lose one of your starters, I mean, whatever depth you had, you're just going to have one fewer option. Like, that's bad news if you get down to a point, because if they have a couple injuries in their starting staff, I don't know if they have – I think that they would have to make another move. If you had
– No, that's a good point, because they're talking about – especially with Gonzalez and even James Paxton to a degree, because – you're going to start getting into August and September where these guys are going to be getting up into the 150, 160, 170 innings area. And these guys, they're probably going to tire down the stretch. And so this idea of having a six-man rotation, clearly if Felix is out of there, then it hurts your depth.
The other thing that I would say for Felix here is that I've thought the main question about him this season has been, is it can't or won't? When he struggled, is it that he can't adjust or that he won't adjust? And the one thing that I haven't been able to quite wrap my head around, because I think I've settled mostly to the idea that he's got a new reality of what he has to work with, that he struggled to come up with consistently effective game plans and being able to execute those game plans. That having a at a time when guys aren't going to chase his changeup out of the strike zone anymore, he's still got to find a way to get guys out. When he's not a strikeout pitcher anymore, he's still got to find a way to get guys out. And that he maybe just doesn't have the chops to be able to do that, and the pitching chops that are there. But then you think about the game he started in New York. You think about the game that he started in opening day to start the season and how good he looked in those. You're like, maybe it is a matter of focus and a matter of the intensity that he's able to bring in, that he can't always bring that level of intensity. Because if those two games would point to the reality that maybe it is something that's between his ears as opposed to how his arm functions now.
Yeah, the can't versus won't thing, and that's like, which one would you pick? I mean, if he won't, then that's a really bad sign, because then you go, okay, he's not a very good teammate. Because, as I said earlier, I mean, there's been some other guys on this team that have, you know, like Colomé switching to being a setup guy instead of a save guy. You know, I've gotten D. Gordon to go out into center field, and how come you won't jump on board? We don't know that's what it is, but the can't is another thing that's another really bad sign. So, yeah, Felix, that'll be interesting to hear down the road, you know, sort of how he fits in with this group. But I like to think that he's a good enough teammate. You see, he's always engaged. He's always leaning over the fence there and cheering on his teammates when he's got an off day. So I'd be really surprised if it's won't. But then that leaves, you know, that he can't, and that's also kind of disappointing and sad.
This might be the best thing for him, though. I mean, you come back, so he's going to be – he'll come off the DL July 18th. Mariners return to action after the All-Star break on the 20th. And so giving him a couple weeks off, he might come back refreshed. So this could end up being a good thing for the Mariners.
The other good news for the Mariners today came with Gene Segura, who was not among the selections for the All-Star game on Sunday when they were announced, was – pretty open about the fact that he felt disappointed and confused by that. But the fact that he is leading the final vote, is that the technical name for it? I forget the internet terminology.
Yeah.
The final vote, which sounds...
Camping like, World final vote.
Oh, well, you give them a little sponsorship love there. Look at that. Coors Light drinker Jim Moore.
Coors Light drinker Jim Moore, Druids golf player Jim Moore. O'Reilly Auto Parts shopper Jim Moore.
Yeah.
Proud Coug.
Two under par after three holes, Jim Moore.
God, what the heck happened? I had a five-hole stretch after that where I went triple, double, double, quadruple, double.
Well, no wonder you were hammered.
No, I wasn't hammered enough.
Triple, double, double, quadruple?
No, yeah, I'd only had one beer at that point.
Oh, Danny thought you were taking shots.
I thought that was the caliber of drink that you were having.
No. Oh, triple, double, quadruple. Oh, I got you. Yeah. That was
probably wasn't a very good joke if it took three different explanations to get it to Jim.
Yeah, not necessarily, because Jim, there was that whole bone structure with the lions the other day when we were talking about the tattoo, and it took like 45 seconds
yeah,
to get him to understand
Scott
that
Spezio.
One.
So.
You think it's the bone on top of his neck that's a little thick sometimes?
Do you think that it's an all-time low on sports stories right now when we're talking about Jim Moore's golf game?
Maybe.
No, it's 7-10 day here at Druids Glen.
It's better than yesterday when we heard that a bird pooped on Jim.
It did.
That's right. We did.
Yeah,
that
was not cool.
Spider crickets we talked about.
Did you wash this?
Has everyone had that happen? I mean, is that just normal for someone to have that happen?
I can't think of when a bird...
It's never happened to you?
No, because there was definitely a time when I was in... I think it was Yeah. I've been pooped on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Check that box.
Never have.
Really?
I'm also younger than you.
Really? With that huge melon?
I know. It's target practice for them, Dave.
It would be there.
You know they're laughing, too, when they do it.
Yeah.
And you think so?
Damn birds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gene Segura leading the final vote so far, the Camping World final vote, as we learned, to be an inclusion there in the clubhouse. This is from Shannon Dreyer. As they were talking to Gene Segura, and you're going to hear D. Gordon periodically interject his thoughts and observations over the course of this about his feeling about the All-Star game.
That's really good support, you know. Even if I was a bit disappointed when I got any news, but... And at the end of the day, everything, you know, gonna pass off. And as a professional guy, you know, you don't have to handle that. And,
I'm not professional. He should already been there.
If I made it, great. If I not,
he hit 330.
You know, continue to do my thing and just
playing great defense.
Just fun, and you know. We know we got so many good.
No one else has hit 330 and didn't make it.
All right, <dude. laughs> we got so many
I'm
good.
I'm just saying.
Good.
Shouldn't have had to send them.
Short throw in the lead. And you know, fortunately, this game is being a little tougher when you play shortstop, especially on those, you know, those young talent that you have around the league, you know, Lindor, Correa, Machado, you know, those type of guys that they really do at it. But in the end of the day, it's the, you know, all-star game is the guy that, you know, deserves it to be out there. It's not somebody pick it up and put it out there. I think just, I mean, all-star game is me. The people that get more deserved, like more, you know, the ball man and the ball game and the field, to put some decent number to me, the all-star, that's all-star me, for me. I don't know for you guys, for anybody. So I see a lot of guys that made it, even Snell. Come on, that's ridiculous how this guy not made the all-star. I see a guy hitting 240 and maintained this in the final ball. With a good number. So I think the league, I don't know who's in charge of that. I had to, you know, make a better top. It's not only for myself. You know, there's some guys over there that deserve it. They want to go to the All-Star game because that's what we play for.
D. Gordon, man, that guy is so precious to this team. It didn't take him very long to get to know everybody, and just the way he's interjecting there, I think it's also pretty impressive that Gene Segura keeps his train of thought the whole time.
Yeah.
When he hears that in the background. But D. Gordon, man, he's magic, man. Sitting there, you know, quoting all of his stats, and nobody's hitting 330 who didn't get in. You know, just all he brings so much to this team. But I thought that Segura handled it very gracefully. Did a good job there, and but you know, isn't this what it's all about? I mean, it's just like when we talk about the tournament. I mean, there's always, that's kind of the thing, all-star games, and I don't know that you get it so much, maybe Pro Bowl, we talk about it a little bit, the snubs. I mean, it's just, it's one of those topics that I don't think's ever going to go away. Look, I mean, you how do you make up a system? I mean, should it just be based on his average? You know, should Manny Machado not be in there? Manny Machado's hit 21 home runs, and he has better fielding percentage. So how do you do that? It's always going to be that way.
You could have Segura in, and then someone somewhere else is going to not be in because Segura's in, and then they'll have the same complaints in other cities.
Exactly.
There are people that believe Andrelton Simmons is the bigger snub than Segura because of the defense that Simmons plays.
He's got better defense, but he's lighter hitting, right?
Correct.
Like 5-6 home runs.
Yeah, and it's that sort of, you could make, and I know that there's a war measurement that I saw out there. I think it's Baseball Reference's war measurement, where Simmons, when you factor in his defense, has a higher wins above replacement. You're never going to get a perfectly just system. And you're always going to get guys that are deserving for a number of reasons, whether it's the position they play or the league that they play in, all the different, or just the flat-out subjectivity of the fact that it's fan voting that has such a say in it, you're never going to get a perfect system. And I think that everybody, we feel bad for Gene because, man, he should be, if there's one hitter from this team that should be in the All-Star game, I think it's him. He's had the most consistent first half, and when Robinson Cano, who had been their best hitter, went out, he's really the guy that's been the most consistent player in all the multi-hit. So you feel bad for him. I think watching how the team has responded to it, though, and hearing D. Gordon there, like, that was funny. I'm not a professional. He should have already been there. Mm-hmm. Like, that's hilarious, like, when he's in there.
It's almost like, I hope he gets in. But if he doesn't get in, don't you think that's going to motivate him down the stretch? I mean, he's going to be out to prove people wrong or whatever. And then, like you're saying, I mean, to have all of his teammates rally around him, I'm sure he already felt the love from them or whatever. But now it's turned out better in a weird way that it happened like this.
Yeah, I think that's what you're getting at, Danny, is that the snub actually might be one of the better things that's happened to bring this team together, as if they weren't already together enough.
He's going to feel better about the team. Yeah. Like Gene Segura, regardless of what happens, and hopefully he does get in and he's able to play there, and we'll see. You very well could see James Paxton end up pitching in the All-Star game as well. I know Verlander is scheduled to throw on the 15th, so right before that, so he's not going to be able to pitch. You could see a couple guys that are there, and maybe Paxton gets in there too. Gene Segura is going to remember this part of it more, though, than I think any sort of disappointment he might have felt when his name wasn't among those announced on Sunday.
Well, he's going to pinch hit at most if he makes it in the game. He might not even play, but I understand that it's the respect. And, the feeling of being there and knowing that you're an all-star. But it seems like at least he's ahead right now in the final vote, and hopefully by 1 o'clock tomorrow it'll hold up.
It's so funny because I don't really care about Pro Bowl selections. I care about guys when they get their first Pro Bowl choice. Yeah. Like, I care about that. Like when K.J. Wright, hey, we made commercials.
That's right, you did. Yeah.
I feel good for a guy when he gets that recognition. I do like the All-Star game, though. I like baseball's All-Star. I think it's the best of all of the different sports. And I do like, I was thinking about this yesterday, like, do I really feel strongly that every team shouldn't have a representative, like that rule shouldn't be there? And I guess I was like, you know what? I don't feel that strongly about it. Like, I think overall, like, my opinion would be, should every team be represented? I was like, no, that doesn't matter. Just get the best players there. But it's a cool part of the whole process. And I do hope I see Gene Segura there. Like, I think that does matter to me as a Mariners fan and watching them play. I think it'd be cool to see him on that stage and representing the Mariners.
Well, and especially what he's gone through, and we talked about this earlier. When you reflect back to, you know, what he went through early on in his, you know, and who knows, if he hadn't found Robinson Cano, maybe even if he wasn't traded to the Mariners, was starting to have some resurgence in Arizona, but I think it was after Cano got a hold of him because he lost his infant child, and he was just kind of floating around. He got hit in the face with a Ryan Braun practice swing when he was in Milwaukee, and you know, and he's just taken off since then. And a lot of that, he credited that. Remember we interviewed him out at Edgar's, and he talked about Cano and how Cano just took him under his wing, taught him kind of how to be a professional, how to get over things. And from that, you look at the depths of where his career was and where it could have very easily ended for him, and just because psychologically he wasn't handling it well, and to where he is now. So, but yeah, I think that there's something to what you said, Danny, that this might be one of those things that's, it's better off because it's bringing this team together. And again, go to Shannon Dreher's Twitter and look at the picture on there. They're all lined up outside the plane and getting ready to get on, and they all have shirts that say "Send Segura" with his little smiling face there on the top. It's pretty awesome.
They also warmed up in those shirts today, too.
Did they really?
Yeah,
they all took
batting practice and were thrown out there.
That's cool. That's really cool.
And look at how well he's done even since Cano got the suspension, because you know how close the two of them are. And there was a part of me that was thinking that after Cano was gone, I remember the Milwaukee manager saying something about when Segura played there, how important it was to keep him happy and keep him uplifted, that type of thing. And so when Cano left, I thought, oh man, okay, there's his security blanket, he's gone. And Danny, I think you pointed out, it seems like he's become more of a leader even with Cano gone.
He definitely has. And I've gotten over the whole question about his defense, because I think that was a little bit, he wasn't playing short when he was in Arizona. He was a second baseman. He's a good shortstop.
Like, he's not great, but he's good.
He's a good shortstop. Like, he makes some fun plays. Like, he's not a liability there. Like, there's going to be some errors, but he's aggressive. He's more athletic. I'm convinced that people don't like him as a shortstop because of how he looks. Like, it's strictly one of those baseball, it's one of those baseball player, like, he's not got a baseball build, or we don't like overweight hitters, like that sort of thing. It has nothing to do with his actual performance. It's how he physically appears.
Yeah, he can make some spectacular plays, too, but then he blows the routine ones occasionally, though.
Remember last year in the Houston game where he had those two unbelievable plays?
In the ninth inning, wasn't it?
In the ninth inning, yeah, and I think it was either back-to-back or one, and ended up closing them out. But, yeah, and the thing I say about him, sort of affectionately, but it seems like once every game he has a brain fart where something happens, whether it's on the base paths or he does something where it doesn't seem like he's paying attention. You know, so, yeah, I mean, maybe that factored into it. I think you're right about the appearance thing, because Anderson Simmons is very long and lean. Same thing with Manny Machado. But, and then Lindor,
Lindor's a great player.
He hit 23 home runs as well. So, yeah, it just, you know, but 340? I mean, the next closest is like, what, 313, I think?
Nobody else hitting 330 didn't get in, quote D. Gordon.
And four stolen bases in one game?
Yeah, he had four in one game. It's Danny Davenport. We'll keep rolling here from Druids Glen. But first, you know what we've got to do? We've got to give you your tickets. That's right. The seventh caller right now to 206-421-3776. Seventh caller to 206-421-3776. We'll get tickets. It's our thank you to our listeners for showing up at Druids Glen and for listening all year long. Seventh caller, when the Mariners host the White Sox, fans invited to stay after the game to celebrate Seattle's own Pearl Jam with a fireworks show. It's July 20th, featuring all your songs by the legendary band. Find great seats at Mariners.com. We keep rolling from Druids Glen next. It is Danny, Dave, and Morin. This hour is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. We're here at Druids Glen for 710 Day. Our fearless leader, Mike Salk, just wrapping up his round. It's been fun to see people out here and get a chance to say hello to all sorts of different people. This is one of the fun things we do to try to give back to everybody who listens to our station. We're really grateful for all the people who do, obviously. That makes what a job that we find that's... I have a great time doing this, and I'm really grateful that people seem to enjoy listening to us.
Yeah, it is fun to be out here, and I really want to thank Clint Gould, the general manager here at Druids Glen. And,
is Clint the nicest guy in the world?
He is.
He really is.
He's right up there. Yeah, he always seems to be smiling, and sure was fun to play with him today. And, yeah, it was, and played with the course superintendent and Jeff Gardner from Coors Light, and it was a really good day out on the course. Looks like everybody's having a good time. The course is in terrific shape, and the weather came out nice, too. Mount Rainier is starting to pop out over there. You see it?
Yeah, so. You can see it. It's peeking up over the 18th green. Say this. The course is in great shape. They've made huge strides in how the course looks, how it plays. It really is. And if you haven't played Druids Glen yet this year, you really should. It's a great opportunity. The Mariners opening up their series against the Angels. The Angels are a team that I don't want to say they startle you. The Mariners have had a pretty good chunk of success against them. That's a team, though, that a month ago it looked like you were going to be head-to-head with fighting for one of those wild card spots if the Angels weren't going to go ahead and contend. They've had some injuries to their starting pitching, but this is still a team that's dangerous and has the best baseball player alive in Mike Trout.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. This series is weird. It went Angels, Colorado at home, and now it's going to go Angels, Colorado on the road. I think they're kind of similar teams. They're both about the same record. The Colorado Rockies in the National League West, of course, but just one or two games above 500, and they have really good players. I mean, Pujols, as bad as he looks running, still has collected 3,000 hits and just is, you know, always a threat. And then Cole Calhoun starting to come alive, their right fielder, and then, of course, Trout, just unbelievable. So we're going to go through that whole thing about how do you pitch to him, when do you pitch to him, and that'll be interesting to watch. That's always a good cat-and-mouse game. Kind of frustrating for Trout, I would imagine. Like, you want more opportunities to hit. But look, if they're putting you on base, and he's fast, too. And Andrelton Simmons, another guy, you know, who's an all-star worthy shortstop. So this is going to be a tough test for them this road trip, because right after they're heading to Colorado.
With the Mariners being this good this year, do you change your expectations on road trips? Like, typically when they go on a road trip, we always say, if they split, and like if they were to go 3-3 on this road trip, you'd go, that's a good road trip. But do you change the expectations now that there's such a good team?
No, I don't.
I don't either. I still try to say 3-3, I'd be happy with.
You'd feel pretty good about that. The series with the Angels is a little bit different. They played 9 times already, and the Mariners are 6-3.
All in Seattle.
All at Safeco Field. Yeah. That was your first time, and that is a different ballpark. It's a little bit, the fences are a little bit in. You see more home runs that'll happen there. But no, I think 3-3, especially, like, these are two good teams. Like, they're not, there are some bad teams out there, and I think there are more truly awful teams this season than we've seen in recent years. There are more teams that are bad, I would consider by design, because they're trying to take more of a Houston-type approach to rebuilding, and they don't care if they're awful for a couple years. Both of these two teams are right now thinking that they absolutely are going to be playoff and postseason considerations. If you go 3-3 on this road trip, you feel pretty good about it.
Boy, the AL West is just tearing it up. And really, the Rangers are the only team below 500. And you look at the AL Central, Cleveland's starting to pull away a little bit. And that's one of the things that worried me is that Oakland, they took, I think, 3 or 4 from Cleveland, and on the road a couple of those games. So, yeah, that's it's too bad they're in such a tough division. But, you know, I think that the notion, I don't know who it was, Jim or Danny, that said this, but that the Mariners are more likely to catch Houston than Oakland to catch Seattle. I believe that.
We're looking at right now, Oakland's as hot as a team can possibly get. I mean, that's, you win 17 of 21 games, you go 17-4. I mean, that is, that you're not going to play better baseball than that. ahead from them, and they're still six games back. It's hard for me to foresee the A's catching them, and I think it's more likely that the Mariners, while I think it's I wouldn't say that I expect the Mariners to win the American League West. I think it's more likely that they would pass Houston than Oakland would pass Seattle.
Yeah, I think we'll see how that plays out. But going into that matchup tonight, you got Richards against Leak, and so you give an advantage there to the Angels tonight.
Richards looks really good. He had the start against Seattle. He wasn't able to last late into that game, but he looked really good the last time he faced. I think it was his first start since he came off the disabled list. Or either that or a second start there.
Yeah, so we'll see. But, typical lineup tonight. And then it's just still strange to me, though, to see, every time I look at the lineup, see Hermann or Freitas in there and go, oh, that's right, Zunino's out for a while, too. So you got Felix on the DL, Zunino. I'm not sure why they sent down Andreoli today, and they called up Rumbelow, who was sent down last week. He's back up again. Not sure what the reasoning is with bringing Gordon Beckham back up when you already have Romine, but there must be some method to Scott Service madness there, I think.
Or looking at maybe giving some guys a few days off here in the infield as you look ahead to it. It spoke to that. They feel Romine can play as a fourth outfielder, and with Haniger now back and able to play, that there's not the same need that Romine, if he's needed, can play some in the outfield. It is Danny David Moore. We're here at Druids Glen, and we're going to find out what we've learned. We'll do that next.
Oh, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
It is time to find out what we learned. It's brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Curtis.
Danny.
What did we learn today?
Well, happy 710 day to you and yours.
Other than the fact that your enormous noggin has not been pooped on
by
a bird.
No, unbelievable. Upset of the day, for sure.
We're saying enormous. Mostly it's figuratively because he has such a depth of knowledge.
I think he's got a literally big head. What's that?
I wear a 7 7/8 hat.
Yeah, that's
7 7/8.
Yeah,
that's a trophy head.
Yeah, it is. They only go up to 8.
Yes.
You got to get them custom ordered beyond that.
Who's got the biggest head in baseball? Is it Bochy?
Yeah, he's like an 8 8.5 or something like that.
Yeah, Bochy's got an enormous melon.
Mike Tice used to have like a really tall head, and Ron Mattis, our tackle, called him Mardi Gras head. You know, in Mardi Gras, they have those big, all like paper mache heads that people walk around. Mardi Gras head.
Who was it? Somebody was called Floyd Wedderburn. One of the insults that somebody lobbed at Floyd Wedderburn was, what would you rather have, $1 million or Floyd Wedderburn's helmet full of quarters? Yeah. And then there was somebody else that was called Four Slice Toaster Head.
Oh, yeah. That was the guy I played linebacker with.
Was it?
Yes.
Four Slice Toaster Head.
I can't remember his name. He was from Miami. Four Slice Toaster Head. I forgot all about that. See, Danny remembers my life better than I do.
Such a great nickname.
Well, we begin today by learning all about multimedia sensation Jim Moore.
Jim Moore was here last week. Somebody came up and told Jim, I listened to you while I was growing up.
Yeah, that was a new one. No, I used to hear like...
Was that a tomato who said that?
I used to hear, I read you growing up, which I thought, well, okay, that's cool, because I worked at the PI for 25 years. But I think I've been at the station for 8 years. And yeah, a guy that just started there at the station said, I listened to you while I was growing up.
Yeah. And Jim said,
I'm old enough now to have affected people in two different careers, I guess. I don't know.
Well, that's sounds like a multimedia sensation there, Jim Morris.
No,
he's affected people in two different careers.
We really like our show.
Wait, forget that.
I found two ways to touch my morons.
No.
Hey, you got a second laugh out of me, Danny.
Two ways to touch my morons. Seriously? See, half the time I only hear that once because I don't pay attention sometimes, I didn't hear that the first time.
You didn't?
No.
Danny was so excited because I know Danny doesn't like to talk on the phone, and I don't either, but Danny actually called me when he came up with the moron idea.
Oh, he did?
Wow. No,
he was that excited. And then we could get callers. Moron number one, moron number two, and we can number them. And I got to admit, I cracked up. That was a worthy phone call.
He's got a good heart, though, because he actually asked me one day, he goes, is that okay with you? Do you feel bad about that? Is that going to hurt your feelings? And Like, at this point, I don't really care about much of anything. So,
How about this radio show?
Yeah, I don't want to.
Do you care about the radio show?
Yeah, I do. I care. I hope people listen.
I care about golf.
And I hope they download Bark.
Care about Bark.
Yeah, I do care about Bark.
Yeah.
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 No, there are things I care about, but as you get older, you care less about things.
Yeah.
And you hope to wake up tomorrow. Huh?
Right? You don't care what people think.
No, I do. Yeah, actually, you want people to like you, but you want them to hate you, too. So you just don't want people to be ambivalent and, you know, not care one way or the other, I guess.
Okay. You do want people to hate you.
Yeah.
Yet it sounds like you're someone who kind of doesn't care one way or the other.
Whatever. I do care about something. I care about Cougar football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Despite 40 years of heartbreak.
Yeah. I do care about that. Did we learn anything else there?
We did. We learned about Dave's concept of a Twitter bot.
But like you said yesterday, Danny, maybe all this technology up here in Seattle, somebody devised some system. So, like a robot or whatever that'll just continue to, not an actual robot with like metal arms, but I mean like a bot that you put, is that how you go on the
digital bot
internet?
I would love to hear
Dave's visual of what an online bot is, like on Twitter, like what you think that would look like.
Yeah. You ever seen Lost in Space?
Yeah.
Okay, that robot, it's got like the, it's got the arms that looks like a dryer venting hose, you know, and it's just sitting there at a computer pressing enter.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger!
Danger, danger, yeah, there you go.
Didn't you dress up as a robot for Halloween once?
Yeah, yeah. My dad spray painted two boxes, and we taped them on top of each other and spray painted them silver. And then it started to rain, and then I fell down and I cried. Yeah.
I like the Lost in
Space Sad
reference.
Robot. Yeah.
I was 15. No, I want to say I was 7, maybe 6 years old. Yeah.
It is a weird topic to think that like bots are something we talk about all the time. Like people are like, there's all these Russian bots on Twitter. I was like, what do you think the actual bot looks like? Because we should come up with something better. Like it's not like it's an actual physical robot. Like if it's a bot, like it should be a robot, but it's not at all. It's just like some sort of imaginary Twitter account. Like, there's nothing physical about it. Like I thought robots would be cooler. And be able to do more stuff. Instead, they just, like, insults and basically divide our country over gun control. Like, they should at least have laser vision or something.
Are you afraid of robots?
No, but I thought they'd be capable of cooler stuff. Like, I watched the movies. RoboCop, like, that's a cool bot. Like, that had some abilities. The Russian bots on Twitter, they're lame.
They also alert us to local singles in our area.
Oh, is that true?
I think so.
Yeah. I think I'm out of that demographic.
Well,
they already know I'm old and competent.
Does C-Rod show up on the local singles?
Oh, well, I don't know.
Maybe it's C-Rod just bought.
Yeah, I'm the one controlling it. Yeah. We also learned today of the detrimental effects that Danny is having on me. Wouldn't Gene Segura and James Paxton combine to be a Canadian tuxedo?
I could see that. Or you could have maple jeans.
Thanks for the help.
Yeah, Danny is starting to rub off on C-Raj in a really bad way.
Cano and Segura could be relaxed jeans.
Loose fit.
I'm worried about you, C-Raj. I'm really, really worried about you.
I think relaxed jeans was the winner.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was really good.
I never had C-Raj pegged for a corny guy.
Yeah.
It's starting to come out.
Mine's more subtle. Danny's is more out there. Mine, you gotta peel
Danny says his, and then he laughs at his own joke, and he looks at you, waiting for you to ridicule him.
That's correct.
Whereas
that's
I'll say it and just kind of let it marinate for a sec.
Marinate, yeah. Yes. Yeah. And now you're analyzing your own corn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I am worried about you.
The only thing that's amusing is seeing how amused Danny is at himself, basically, right?
Yes.
Because that what is, he says isn't funny.
No, it's true. It's amusing. That part is.
I can't even bear to look at him anymore.
I know. You have your back to him right now.
Yeah, I'm done.
Jim's too busy trying to touch his morons.
I'm done. I'm not trying to touch my morons.
You should be, man. 3 to 6 every day. You've got a whole nation of listeners out there.
We also finally learned today that Jim is just trying to be a team player.
I liked when Jim was. I was thinking denim. I was thinking. It's like, Jim, you have to have the word jean involved.
No, I know. I was trying to be.
That's
you guys don't understand what I'm trying to be. A good teammate. You know, you should say, "Well, okay, Jim, that's a little outside of what we're looking for, but appreciate the effort." But no, just rip me.
That's kind of what Danny did do.
Swing at the ankles.
You're totally right, Jim. That was exactly what it was. It's like, I want to get you to commit so I can ridicule you. Yeah. I've it ceased to become just a victimless crime, my bad jokes. I force you to participate, and then I rip on you.
That's true. Yeah. I'm going to continue to be a good teammate, though.
Yeah.
Boy, you like throwing that teammate out.
It was fun out here at Druids Glen today.
It was a blast. I want to thank Clint and everyone here at Druids Glen for hosting us. Thank Mike Marjma and John Clayton for joining us. Curtis Rogers, our producer here. Matt Nelson back on the board. Brenna Hutchinson, our engineer here. Thank all of you to listen and talk to you tomorrow at 3. Danny, Dave, and more.